From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, March 3rd, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
Governor Janet Mills and members of Maine's congressional delegation are raising concerns about tariffs on Canadian goods set to go into effect tomorrow. They say the state economy and households will be seriously impacted. Kevin Miller has more.
An estimated $6 billion worth of goods flowed between Maine and Canadian provinces last year. Governor Janet Mills says a 25% tariff on Canadian goods, combined with reciprocal tariffs that are expected from Canada, will have far-ranging impacts in this state. For instance, Canada supplies most of the heating oil burned by Maine households and much of the gasoline sold in the state. And Mills says lumber and other forest products routinely go back and forth between Maine and Canada.
As you know, lobsters, they don't have a made in Maine brand or a made in Canada brand. They go back and forth to be processed and come back to the United States, come back to Maine. So those tariffs affect Maine consumers. They are bound to increase the price of goods in all kinds of ways, and obviously they should be fought.
Senators Susan Collins and Angus King and Representative Shelley Pingree raised similar concerns in a letter to Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. They wrote that tariffs will only increase costs at a time when many Maine households are, quote, struggling to put food on the table and keep the lights on. Absent from the letter was 2nd District Congressman Jared Golden. The Democrat has supported Trump's tariff plans, but says any resulting revenue should be reinvested in American jobs and industries. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The state of Maine will continue to include the gender designation X on driver's licenses and identification cards, even though the option is no longer available for passports. Maddie Smith has more.
The Secretary of State's office issued public guidance today, clarifying that the X gender marker will remain available, despite changes at the federal level. Secretary of State Shenna Bellows said in a statement that the president's executive order does not override Maine law. The Maine Bureau of Motor Vehicles has offered the X gender marker, in addition to male and female, upon receipt of a completed gender designation form, since 2018. The option became available for U.S. passports in 2022 under the Biden administration, but was revoked in January by Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Bellows' statement clarifies that executive orders only apply to federal agencies and that driver's licenses are governed by the states. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Governor Janet Mills is also once again pushing back against President Trump's assertion that he can withhold funding from states over policy disagreements. Mills told reporters today that she was responding to, quote, some pretty offensive and aggressive statements from Trump during their tense exchange over transgender athletes in late February. Mills said her administration has been closely monitoring the flow of money to Maine since Trump threatened to withhold federal funding over the policy. But Mills added that, in her view, Trump doesn't have that authority.
You can't create laws by thinking them, by tweeting them, by issuing press releases, by issuing executive orders. Congress makes the laws. The president, the executive branch, executes the laws faithfully.
This was the first time that Mills has spoken to reporters since the incident at the White House. Now, over the weekend, the Trump administration announced to the University of Maine that it's discontinuing a $4.5 million award to the Maine Sea Grant program. Maine Sea Grant sponsors marine science and fisheries research initiatives around the state. There are 33 other similar Sea Grant programs in coastal and Great Lakes states around the country, yet only Maine appears to have had its funding revoked. The cuts come 1 week after Governor Janet Mills sparred publicly with President Trump at the White House about his executive order on transgender athletes. The four-year federal award from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration went into effect last February and would have awarded Maine Sea Grant $4.5 million through January 2028, including $1.5 million this year. Federal and matching funds support the salaries of 20 people at the university and around the state. A spokesperson says that the University of Maine system is still assessing how the funding cuts will directly impact staff and research projects underway. Sebastian Bell of the Maine Aquaculture Association says the Sea Grant program has helped new scallop farmers in the state learn techniques that are being used in other countries and apply them to their operations here in Maine.
Without Sea Grant's engagement in that particular part of our sector, we wouldn't have, number one, as many farms as we have, and we wouldn't have farms that are as advanced as they are.
Bell says losing access to Maine Sea Grant shellfish, finfish, and seaweed experts would be a tremendous blow to aquaculture businesses around the state.
The costs to the, particularly the young farmers, the new startup farmers, their costs would go up because they would have to actually bear the cost of doing some of that research and learning that Sea Grant has been doing for them.
And Bell says that Sea Grant experts have been instrumental in helping aquaculture farmers solve technical problems. He called the Maine Sea Grant cuts short-sighted and says that losing access to the program's expertise could stymie the long-term growth of the state's aquaculture sector. Lobsterman Kurt Brown is a marine biologist with Ready Seafood. He leads a collaborative research project that works with fishermen, students, and others to study and sample lobster at different life stages. Brown says the project launched 10 years ago thanks to funding from Maine Sea Grant.
This is not a cost. This is not something you cut. This is an investment that has paid dividends for decades and will continue to pay dividends to Maine's coastal communities. And that's just so vitally important, especially right now. There's so much hinging on what happens right now, and we just can't afford to lose this vital resource.
Two former NOAA employees, including one fired last week by the Trump administration, say that Maine is the only state to have Sea Grant funding revoked, at least for now. Both say the program was slashed in retaliation after Governor Janet Mills' public confrontation with the president. And the director of the Sea Grant program at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts says that for now, there is no indication that any of the other 33 programs are facing funding cuts similar to Maine's. A spokesperson for NOAA did not immediately respond to a request for comment by airtime. In other news, a Maine state lawmaker's recent targeting of a high school athlete on social media is drawing attention to a new anti-doxing bill that would allow a minor's family members to pursue civil action in court. Steve Missler has more.
Democratic Representative Melanie Sachs of Freeport submitted her bill before the recent controversy in which Republican Representative Laurel Libby of Auburn posted a photo of a transgender athlete winning a recent high school track event. But Libby was mentioned repeatedly by teachers, students, and school administrators who lined up to support a proposal that Sachs says is inspired by the doxing of a different student athlete at a high school in her district. She says the doxing led to threats and harassment online and in person. Doxing is the public disclosure of private information to punish someone. Brian Jandro, principal of Gorham High School, told the Judiciary Committee Monday that he had recently been doxed and received death threats. He says minors are especially vulnerable to such behavior.
No minor should have to endure these attacks and the trauma, particularly at the hands of adults in power, that it brings. These cases serve as a stark reminder of the harm inflicted when adults fail to uphold basic decency.
Several states have anti-doxing laws, but they vary widely. Some make it a felony, while others protect only certain workers or individuals. Such laws also have to navigate free speech protections. Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry submitted testimony in favor of Sachs' proposal, saying he's confident it can withstand a constitutional challenge. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And the Can-Am Crown Sled Dog Race began in Fort Kent in a snowstorm on Saturday, and some mushers were still on the 250-mile course as of Monday afternoon. Race President Dennis Sear says the weather made it a difficult start for the sled dog teams, but didn't dissuade spectators from gathering to watch it.
They said the roads were quite terrible to be traveling, but we had a huge crowd. I don't think I've seen it larger than that on Main Street. Stretched all the way down the whole length of Main Street, which we estimate probably more than 5,000 people.
The first finisher was Martin Massicott of Quebec. This was his 11th win in the Can-Am Crown dating back to 1998. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Department of Marine Resources Commissioner Pat Kelleher. I'm Nicole Ugrisco. Thanks for listening.